Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Trump has a real capacity here of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. He had an enormous opportunity. Hillary was actually on her heels with this. Mm-hmm. He's in Mexico, being very statesmanlike. The Mexican president extends his hand to Trump. The state visit went fairly well. He comes back, declaims it a victory, and then gives this scathing speech, anti-Mexican speech, saying he's going to kick all of them out of the country who are not citizens, and basically calls them something less than human, into which his Mexican advisory board quit. When he was asked about the wall, he said, well, it wasn't discussed with the president of Mexico. But the president tweeted, yes, it was discussed. So now he sounds like a liar, two-faced, and impossible to deal with.
Mm.
How in the world can you get so little doing so much?
You know, it is quite interesting him coming back and, as you say, trying to do the statesman thing, talking to other, well, you know, he could end up as a world leader talking to other world leaders. And yet it is kind of this interesting tightrope he's walking right now. We saw Ann Coulter, the commentator over in the United States, very hard right commentator. She released a book called In Trump We Trust, and he said the only thing that would actually devalue their trust in Trump was if he changed his immigration policy. So first he's gone to Mexico to sort of be statesman, and yet it seems like he did soften on his immigration policies, and now he's back to the hard line. Is this sort of him trying to win supporters on both sides of the fence?
Well, it's as though he thought the people in the United States, A, don't listen to the Mexican radio and know what he said, and B, are going to allow him to talk out of both sides of his mouth. He could have come back and softened his speech, you know, talking about the great contributions of the Mexican people and that in the spirit of friendliness and fairness that he'll work a policy so that those who have been contributing to the United States stay, but people who are not making a contribution have to go. That would have been subtle, important, would have kept people on side. But instead, he attacks them. I just don't get it. And I can't understand why he did it, because he had nothing to gain by doing it. He already has those people who are for him anyway, who are anti-immigrant. So softening his message in the way I described wouldn't lose them. But now he's lost the Latino base entirely. And that's going to be very difficult to overcome when his advisory board members quit. I didn't know he had an advisory board. He hasn't been taking much advice from anybody that I can tell.
Very small staff on the Trump trail, I'm afraid. But just one more point on the Mexican side. Mexicans are, well, quite reasonably upset with Donald Trump, and they were quite upset with this visit to the Mexican president. One historian quoted in the New York Times said, it's a historic error. You confront tyrants, you don't appease them. But is the president of Mexico just playing it safe if Trump ends up in the big chair? He's just playing it safe and saying, well, still going to come across as quite reasonable. Hopefully we can come to some sort of agreement.
No, the president of Mexico is so low in the polls in Mexico that he's looking for a visit from anybody, from any person, from any country, to bolster his image. I think he's at 24% approval rating. So he was hoping maybe that Trump would say no and Hillary would say yes. And if Hillary showed up, he'd look good. But as it is, he's trying to play rescue of his own reputation. So this has ended up bad on both sides.
Now let's change topics. Let's change gears a little bit to this NFL player that a few people in the States have been talking about, Colin Kaepernick. He was born to a white mother and an African-American father, and he's caused a bit of a stir, sitting out the national anthem as a way of protesting the unequal treatment of blacks in America. Sat it out at one of the NFL games. Was it the act that's offended people, or just because it's coming at what is an incredibly tense time at the moment?
Yes, it's the tense times. The act itself might not have offended anyone. And I can recall a few years back seeing the Pittsburgh Steelers, a few of the African-American players sitting on their helmets during the national anthem and nobody saying anything about it. These are very, very tense times. But Colin Kaepernick did something I think that was smart. He's trying to create a bridge between whites and blacks on his own team as a symbol of creating that bridge across the nation. So I think this is a very, very smart move on his part. It's probably accidental, but now's the time to do something like that.
Mm. You know, one of the really interesting comments I saw come out of it, just on even Twitter, was one tweet that was making the rounds saying, you know, people looking towards some of the riots that have been going on, some of the big protests, some of the protests by Black Lives Matter, people waggling their fingers and saying, oh, these black thugs, they shouldn't be protesting with violence, they should be protesting peacefully. And then you see Colin Kaepernick very quietly sitting down during the national anthem, and then the same people waggling their fingers and saying, not like that, no, you can't protest peacefully like that.
Well, he can protest peacefully like that. A gentleman, when was that, 4 months ago, named Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Had a protest that was very similar. And that protest changed America. Maybe Colin Kaepernick is reading those tea leaves and saying a very small protest may mean a great deal for people on both sides. And he's a young man. So he is bridging a divide. Young people are not as divided as older people. And I think that's what he's saying. I'm reaching out to my brothers and sisters who are black and white across the nation.
Mm. Yeah, it is quite an intriguing one. We have seen, you know, it's this incredible American patriotism, or this incredible feeling of patriotism that a lot of Americans seem to like to create. And yet we've seen veterans for Colin come out. This is a hashtag that's come out saying, well, no, I'm a veteran. I fought for this country. I fought for this flag. And yet I support his right to free speech. So it really is... It really is bringing up these difficulties around free speech, protest, the right to protest in the United States. And as you say, just this incredible intensity that is coming up in racial relations in the United States. What are you expecting to see happening next? I mean, are you expecting to see maybe both sides can bridge this, maybe both sides can sort of start talking about this, or are we going to continue to see so much tension over in the U.S.?
Well, I think... the National Football League itself, the players, 70-some percent of the players in the National Football League are African-American. And I would think a black ribbon will start appearing on uniforms, you know, like the pink ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it'll be a black and white ribbon or black and white hands clasped together appearing on players' uniforms as an effort to say, here we are. We have more followers than any church in America, the National Football League. We make more money for the sponsors and so forth than any organization in the United States in history. We want this peace to come by patriotism for the right thing. And the players are a lot more intelligent now, so I think they represent a force for good. And good on Colin. He's been able to make the first statement. It won't be the last.
Mm. Well, Ed, always a pleasure, mate. Do appreciate you coming on this morning, having a bit of a chat with us about these two issues.
And I hope Mr. Trump stays in this race. I won't have anything to talk about if he doesn't.
Yeah, you're exactly right, mate. We'll chat again next week. We'll see what's happening. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.